Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
Sustaining Alive.
Now we've actually got Chris on the line. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi. Chris, would you just quickly like to introduce yourself? I've got your first name, but what's your surname and what's
especially
your background?
Especially in the context of this chat.
Okay, so my name's Chris Toll. I'm a alternative therapist or an allied therapist. I worked 25 years in that field.
Yes.
Mainly dealing with unresponsive stuff. So we do the stuff that nobody else wants, which is quite cool. Keeps you challenged. And but a pet thing of mine and something I've been really interested in and a long, long time is climate change and a supporter of the Green Party for 20 plus years and involved in that community. And what I want to talk to you today is about a book that I wrote, which is delivers a whole lot of solutions for climate change, because I sort of got really sick and tired and upset of nobody doing anything.
You have actually dug in and you've written a fictional book, but based on a concept which involves building canals and flooding the middle of Australia and creating like a new ecosystem that will combat some of the climate change troubles that we're faced with at present.
Yeah, so it's actually a rewilding. There was an inland sea there.
There's
been a huge inland sea there. That's what all the salt lakes are left over from.
You're actually proposing more of a make more of a rainforest in there, not necessarily make a massive lake.
No, the whole thing. So originally there was a sea there that was about 1.2 million square kilometres in size.
Oh shit! Right? Okay, wow. Yeah.
And it was about 20 metres deep, roughly.
Yes.
And basically, we've committed now already, no matter what we do, we're committed to 1.5 metre of sea rise now. We can't stop that. That is going to happen.
Yes.
Because as you heat water up, it expands and it's going to expand.
Yes.
So that means that places like Auckland, as a city, we'll have to get used to the bottom of Queen Street at King Tides actually flooding.
Right.
Like, literally, actually flooding.
Venice
but
styles.
Places like Sydney and Brisbane and other places over in Australia are going to get higher impact because of the gravitational mass of the water, where it moves, how it moves through the ice, and as that mass moves, it affects different parts of the planet in different ways.
Is that equator related?
Sorry?
Is that like because it's on the equator or closer to?
Well, basically, the Earth's not round.
Yeah,
it just looks round to us because the water fills in the blanks. So you have different gravitational mass on different parts of the planet, and the ice has its own gravitational mass, and it's going to move. So that gravitational mass will move, and that means the oscillation as we spin will change a little bit. So sea rise won't be level across the whole world. It'll be higher in some places than others.
Interesting.
Chris, what I'm interested in is how does the science work? So say there are parts of Australia that were historically seabeds. How do you build a canal and then flood that part of Australia and make things so that it doesn't become like a stagnant body of water? And how do you make something which will work or become a viable ecosystem?
So there's a whole lot of things have to be involved. So first up, we tend to see microalgae as algal blooms and dangerous and bad stuff. But the reality is they generate between
the
microalgae and kelp, which is algae, and sea plants, sea grasses, they generate 75% of the air that we breathe.
Yeah, I remember this from a recent David Attenborough piece about the planet, and yes, most of the oxygen comes from that sort of shallow, you know, like seabed surrounding, you know.
Is that your David Attenborough impression?
Pretty
much.
Yeah, you're doing really well. David Attenborough. Yeah.
See the lion.
We're on the same page. Okay,
I've got. That's why I'm kind of curious about this, because I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm just sort of skipping through looking at the pictures, but
that's what, yeah,
I'm kind of here as well.
I'm into this concept of, you know, if we're going to flood Australia as well. It's like,
flooding Australia.
What so, I like is yeah, not, I, what I like is
totally
that people are like,
Australia.
Oh,
guys, whoa, not flooding totally Australia, right? Well, where would they go? They'd want to come here.
I just enjoy the idea that the idea is kind of like flooding the middle of Australia, and everyone's like, oh, wait a minute, you know, the Aboriginal da da da, which is fair enough. But you're actually saying it already was flooded. Then it's kind of like, wow, we're actually returning it.
Opals are actually fossilised sea life. Mm-hmm. That's what an opal is made of.
Yes.
It's actually fossilised fish and shellfish. Okay? So essentially what you've got is, the problem you've got is, you're correct, Johnny, is that algae are really, really dangerous. You've got to harvest them when they're ripe. Yeah? So one of the things I did was I spent 8 years of my spare time doing this at night.
Yes.
Right? Working out how to put this all together, and I put it all together in a big... And there's a video on the website, theeromungadisruption.com. Mm-hmm. There's a video of the science. And when you go to the end of that video, I think there's 1,200 links in the last few pages of that video that take you to all the different science of how this would work.
Yes.
Basically, what you've got to do is you fill it up, you keep it cool, and there's lots of ways that all explained as to how you use heat exchangers to generate electricity and drive the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you harvest the algae before it goes off. So use satellites to tell you that algae's pH is changing, it needs to be harvested now.
Mm.
And the reason you do that is that microalgae produce up to 85% of their biomass as bio oil. You can literally take microalgae, crush them, and you've got carbon neutral biodiesel. You can use it, make it today, use it tomorrow, make it again tomorrow.
So you're running, it's almost a farm that you're running on this.
Yep.
Yes, okay.
Massive farm.
Mm-hmm.
Gigantic farm. Gigantic aquaculture, because you want to grow things like kelp as well, right?
How does biodiversity come into this if we're flooding?
Okay, so here's the thing, okay? What we do, this is going to happen anyway.
Yes.
Right.
Right?
How is it going to happen anyway? Because you're proposing building a large canal which floods the centre of Australia.
What I'm saying is, instead of letting it happen rampantly and turn into a cesspit in the centre of Australia that we've got no control over because our cities are all dying and flooded, all the toxins and filled all the coastal waters, take that water now and put it in there and manage it
control
the right way.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're kind of employing like you get like a Dubai kind of situation where you just sort of, you make, you know, a lot of man-made sort of stuff and then you channel the water in there.
Yes and no. So basically no, because the only thing that's man-made are the canals, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You pump the water in. The rest of it, so with microalgae, one of the things they release from, as they grow, is they release little oil particles which actually drift up into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way oils come off a rainforest and go up into space.
Mm-hmm.
And catch water droplets form around them and they fall down, right? The same thing happens with microalgae. They actually give off oils. Those oils go up into the atmosphere and they form clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Those clouds, heavy with rain, can actually redistribute that rain all over Central Australia and green the whole of Central Australia. The actual water itself needs to be protected. So there's a 100-kilometre buffer zone right around the whole thing of organic land. You can't do anything in there. You can live there, but everything's got to be organic.
Mm-hmm.
Outside that, all of Central Australia greens and absorbs CO2. I think the water itself absorbs something like 9 million tonne, but the 9 million tonne of CO2, just the water.
I feel like you're going to say one of my favourite words real soon, which is microclimate.
Go on.
Microclimate. Are you going to say microclimate in a minute? Where it's like,
I feel like this is a macroclimate. Big Hungry was saying microclimate, but I feel like this is a huge...
It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's bigger than that. Actually, interesting enough, you mentioned before...
Love a microclimate. Love
we
it.
Get... The Facebook page gets up to like 120,000, 180,000 hits in 90 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
But most of those come out of the Saudi region.
Right.
Where they're all looking at it, because there's a lot of areas there where they could actually do the same thing. Like the Dead Sea.
True.
Is the reason the Dead Sea is what it is it's going to end up like Lake Eyre in Central Australia. It's going to be a salt pan eventually.
Mm.
But it was a large inland sea.
Yeah, it's getting more and more salty.
Yeah. So basically, and so the book takes you through the whole thing. That the management of it is by the local tribes, the regional tribes. It's 12 regional tribes that can manage it and be involved in it.
Hey, mate, where can we read the book right now if someone wanted to get their hands on it?
Kobo or Kindle. You can get it on Amazon as well.
What's it called?
The Eromunga Disruption. That's what the
Can
C
you spell that
called.
For us?
Eromunga. The Eromunga Disruption.
Cool.
What I did was I put all the science together, and it was boring, really boring. You're never going to read it. It's a massive amount of stuff to read. So what I did was you get political change through getting people to change their perception.
Yeah.
So I put it into a murder mystery novel with a view to making that into the book, then into two games, a kids adult game, so we can model. So the kids game will be about getting the sea to survive and what we had to do to keep all the different creatures alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the adult game is a bad type of game. And then wanting to make it into a movie. So it's step, step, step. And this is the first step is the book.
Good shit.
And you're the first radio interview.
Oh, well, rad. Do you know what I actually...
Yeah.
What sets my mind at ease about this whole thing that I've just picked up on now? You're Australian.
Originally born in Australia, but lived here.
That's awesome, though. That makes me feel way better about this because you're Australian and you've come up with this idea to flood Australia. And I'm like, yes. That's meant. Yeah, it's not like, hey, it wasn't us. Hey, he's Australian.
Yeah, actually, it came about also because when I was a kid in Australia, we were taught about in 1872 or something, a British engineer tried to flood Central Australia. He tried to work it out by using floodwaters. Except that, you know, they have a drought for 10 years and it all dries out. Everything dies again.
Would you do it in
Whereas this, you can just keep pumping water into it. You can take half a centimetre a year off the Pacific every year.
Would you do it in like the way the Dutch kind of channel water? Is that the techniques that you would use to get the water in there? When you say pump, I mean, Jesus, bro, you're talking about a lot of water. I think flow is what you're talking about, right? Not pump.
Yeah, so it's going to flow anyway, but you use impellers. And the impellers are driven by, there's a thing called the FIAC, which is a heat system.
Yes.
So basically the heat of the water itself, because you need to cool the water as you pump it in there.
Mm.
And the heat of the water itself, you extract the energy from that. Everything's about extracting all of the energy all of the time and using all of the things all of the time. Like you grow kelp there.
A harmony of sorts.
Australia has this thing called red kelp. And if you give that to cattle as part of their feedstock, between 2 and 10% of their feedstock, you reduce their methane emissions by up to 90%.
Mm-hmm.
But it changes their biome.
Yep.
So there's lots of stuff that the book, you read it all in the book, but it's an exciting book where you go and visit these places in the middle of, you know, something's going on, right?
Mm.
So it, rather than making it boring, you still see the same stuff, but it's just like a Mission Impossible.
Okay, Chris, let's just pretend we move forward. Like we've started flooding Australia. We're starting to get it raining there on a constant level. What's the turnaround here? Like 20 years, we start seeing like a bit of a, oh shit, some meadows and stuff, you know?
The full thing should hit its stride at 20 years, but it would be working in 5.
Right on.
Because you do, the first canal's 220K.
Yes, I feel like the Australians could knock that out pretty quickly with all their mining equipment. 220Ks?
Exactly. All your coal miners. In fact, the book explains all that, that all these people migrate over.
Mm.
And, like, the other thing is, much as it's annoying, the people who would be the biggest investors in it are probably the oil industry.
Yes.
Mm.
Because they're about to get dumped with
They need
really
something to sink their teeth in.
Heavy penalties.
Mm.
And this would give them 500... trillion litres of biofuel a year to extract. That was a trillion. It was 500 trillion litres of biofuel.
Oh.
That's how much
we just
it was.
Lost them.
It was that much bio stuff.
That was the oil companies cutting them off.
Fuck, I tell you what, mate. Could be. Chris, give us a call back, mate. We'll just be chilling here, just contemplating your idea of flooding Australia.
Hang on. Shall I call him?
It's a buzzy idea. 309-3879 is the studio phone number.
If you want to get involved, send us a text, 53095. That's probably the easiest. Let me just call him back there. 021-363-4. Oh. His phone may have gone flat.
I hope everyone's enjoying this radical idea.
I'm into it.
It's good to, it's, you know, sometimes you've got to search for some crazy solutions. We're in a crazy situation here, and I don't really think it's sunk in when he was talking about that 1.5 meters no matter what. No matter what right now. Okay. You know, fuck.
Did we say something bad about the oil companies?
Yeah, I think it was the oil companies that cut us off, Chris.
Yeah, man, they just went, press kill.
Sweet, man. Well, look, we should probably actually just kind of get to the wrap-up stage here and just get everyone to go and have a read of your book. And, you know, like John and I say, we do this feature every week. It's called Sustaining Alive, and a lot of it is doom and gloom. So having someone come up with an idea is we're right up in that, and, you know, we're here to hear it. So.
Yeah. Hey, guys, look, just wrapping, thank you so much. I'm supposed to say that front right with media. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, mate, we're not too media. Don't worry about it.
But, the thing that everybody that's read this book, apart from, and I'm really wrapped with the reviews, but one of the things that comes out of it is they say, just get it done because I want to go there. Because I describe what the place is going to look like and how the buildings will be built and why you have to do everything the way you have to do it. Because I just went through and ticked off everything because I'm 66, man. I'm well down my innings. But I've got children and grandchildren.
Yep.
And it's really going to be a challenge, eh?
Yeah, it's buzzy.
We've got to change this stuff, eh?
Mm.
Yeah. No, totally, man.
Chris, you were saying that you do have a couple of copies up for grabs. So I was just thinking if anyone out there was interested in a copy of this book, you can send us a text through to 53955. Would you be happy to post them out, Mike? Sorry, Chris. Is that all right?
Yep. No problem.
Okay.
All right, man.
Be a pleasure.
Kia ora so much for having the chat, and hopefully it gained some traction, or at least, you know, there's a lot of places where this could happen, maybe not on such a massive scale, but, you know, I feel like it should happen in places all around the world if it's a solution.
It may have to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It may have to happen at this level, and that's why I wrote it, because it may have to happen at this level, because it's the only way we'll turn around.
Okay.
Hey, Johnny and Hungry, thank you.
So Chris Toll, and the name of the book one more time, mate. Just give
it. The Erromanga Disruption, and trust me, if you Google it, it'll come up. The Erromanga Disruption.
Perfect. I just got a text through to my phone saying, "I want this book. This guy is a radical." Beep beep beep.
Okay, but that
sounds similar to some of the. But tell them to go read the reviews on the website. The reviews on the website are like nuts, off the chart. People love it.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Cool, man. Take it easy out there.
Cheers, Chris. Thank you. Bye.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist, and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.